Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, we are at the Survivor Series.
Yep.
I will never, ever not pause for Survivor Series and SummerSlam.
Yeah. Like,
say the right one.
I know.
And I'll still do it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
20-25% of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you excited?
Okay, work this out for me.
Okay.
Because
I doubt I'll be able to, but go on.
Here's the thing, and like, this is a situation where like, it might totally be on me, but I feel like I'm not the only one that feels this way. So, it was going to be Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns.
Yes.
We saw the build up to that.
Yep.
We saw the number one contendership.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, you're like, okay, Roman Reigns is going to get it. And I was fine with that. Like, it seemed like a far enough time away from WrestleMania.
Right.
It seemed...
And it fits into what we were saying, that we assumed that this meant that Roman Reigns was going to beat Seth and
right.
become the champion. And we'd said that maybe it would be better for Roman if he went at any other time other than WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of been ruined for
well,
him, at least his first run with the champion.
Yeah. And I've been impressed with him as of late. I feel like a lot of people have said that they have improvements, at least in ring stuff.
I think
everybody is still feeling
his promos are recaps.
Yes.
He's just recapping what's happened in the past month.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that happening. I was
sure.
Like it felt like an acceptable time. It felt like me and WWE had come to like a
kind of a
ceasefire, maybe, is the best way to describe it.
We were all
okay with the direction this was going.
Right.
But now...
We knew that it would be inevitable.
Right. But now that Seth is out, and it still feels like, oh, they're gonna give it to Roman still, but
mm-hmm.
they're doing it through this tournament, I feel like I'm right back on this, like, anybody but Roman.
See, here's the thing. We got the tournament, the initial number one contendership tournament out of the way.
Yeah.
And Roman won that. And we're like, all right, fine. We got that pretty much done in one night. Or it ended with the Fatal 4-Way. That's what it
right.
was.
Mm-hmm.
Got it all done in one night. And we pretty much accepted it at that moment. This one, it's a multi-night tournament.
Uh-huh.
And it's like they gave us options. And I guess, like, in that one night, we didn't have enough time to process the initial options.
That there were other
but now
options.
Now they give us those same options, just more spread out, and with other options. Really, there's more. And it's just like, sure, but I don't want vanilla.
Well, the thing is, like there's never... There was never a moment in there where it's like, oh, plans change. Ooh, it could be anybody now.
Right.
Like, it's always been like, plans change. But Roman wasn't the one that's hurt, so clearly he's going to be the one walking away with the title.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but just something about this. And again, this might be on me. This might be an irrational thing where I can't make a coherent argument for why I can reasonably feel this way.
Right.
But it feels like I'm just going to be like, not Roman.
Yeah.
Friggin' spoon feed me Roman. It's the same thing all over. I hope everybody boos.
At least put Cesaro on a different branch of the tournament bracket. Like, come on. At least give us one, pay-per-view meaningful match with Cesaro involved.
Yeah.
Like, at least put him in the semifinals.
Well, Cesaro has to be free to do something amazing in the Survivor Series elimination tournament so that we can have hope that his push is coming. Like, he has to fill that slot
yeah.
this year the way Ziggler filled it last year.
Or either that, or it's just they're, you know, hey, let's dangle this in front of the internet, guys.
I mean, here's the thing. So, I did not have a good Monday at work. It was a rough Monday, you know.
I, too, was having a rough Monday.
And so, like, I came home to watch Raw,
mm-hmm.
and I was just ready to be pissed at all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, like, because honestly, like, Roman and Cesaro, I thought, had a really good match.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And I think, like, Kevin Owens and Neville had an amazing match. I thought
Kalisto and Del Rio was okay. It was
alright. Yeah, and Dean had a good match.
Sure.
But the thing is, like, I was like, this is all really good.
Right.
And it's not deep storytelling, and it's not twisty storytelling, and it's not, you know, it's very basic storytelling, but it is coherent.
Right.
Nobody's being unceremoniously squashed for the sake of this week's storyline. Like, there is some character-building consistency going on with these characters.
Right.
Where, for the most part, everybody's looking good. So, and that's... And we've been at a point where I'm like, that's literally all I'm asking for.
Right.
And so they met that bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, as I was watching it, I was like, I am judging this too harshly. I can feel myself judging it too harshly because of my bad day at work. So looking back on it, I don't think it was as grumpy worthiness
as it initially was.
Yeah.
No, I agree, because, I mean, I was in the same boat, and, you know, I was just kind of... I watched half of Raw at work. Shh, don't tell my boss. I watched the other half when I was getting home, and I was just looking at, you know, the clock, waiting for midnight to hit, and be like, okay, no, Battlefront is on a PlayStation now, so bye. You know?
Yeah.
Raw probably wasn't as bad as I initially believed it to be when I was watching it.
And then here's the thing. I was like, that was a really good match also for the guy you're going to have win your tournament, you know, in a couple of days.
But to be fair, a lot of that match was Roman taking damage.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, that's also the thing is, like, if somebody's going to get hurt in this match, it's going to be Cesaro because he doesn't...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
If somebody's taking the risks... And that's always been a go-home show issue.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, here's a guy that's on the pay-per-view versus a guy that's not on the pay-per-view.
Right.
Who's going to take the risks tonight?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It was a nice touch to have him shake hands afterwards. Hooray, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Although I do think, like, everyone online was thinking, like, oh, this match is going to get such a great reaction. It's going to, like, the place is going to go nuts. And I'm like, guys, it's Greenville, South Carolina. Calm down. Because that was a pretty big Roman pop compared to Cesaro.
Yeah.
Now I feel like any other, you know, real life place would have gotten probably more equal.
I feel like Cesaro will be world champion someday.
Sure, yeah.
And I feel like we might have to Daniel Bryan him in there, but, like...
But if we've done it once,
yeah.
We just need to get everyone on board.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not as worried as perhaps I should be, because I feel like he's young, and I'm sitting like, that'll happen. And it's a little bit more of, like... I'm back on the anti-Roman train more than I'm on the pro-Cesaro or pro-anybody-else train.
Right.
Because I think I'd be equally as happy with Ziggler or with Ambrose to be winning the tournament over Roman. But it kind of is what it is. I'm assuming we're going to get into picks for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to risk picking anything but Roman?
I mean, I feel like that would just be a dumb pick as far as, like... You know, because that's part of it. It's like, oh, do I want to pick what I want, or do I want to pick what I think WWE is going to do? And you got to go with what you think WWE is going to do.
Yeah. Well, part of it is, like, it almost feels like Roman winning is so the obvious answer that they will change it just to not have that obvious. And if that is the case, I will say this is the second time in the same year that Roman has been screwed out of his championship by Seth doing something.
Right.
But... I'm not going to pick that.
No.
Like, Roman's just...
Because it's going out on a limb.
Roman is just the correct pick.
Do you think WWE twice in 1 year is going to change their outcome because of the fan response? Or are they just going to finally just, you know, force feed it to us? I feel like at this point in time in the year, and they're not as worried as that final reaction at the end of the show or whenever this is going to happen,
Yeah.
As they are about their WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, what do you... It doesn't go for any, like, odds on or anything, but what do you think the odds are of Sheamus cashing in?
I think it's probably higher now than what it was for the past couple pay-per-views.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know why. Part of it just goes back to, like, I don't know why WWE put the briefcase on him in the first place.
No, I am so, like, we have to say, like, the big thing is we're all in agreement. The best possible outcome is Sheamus cashes in and doesn't win.
Right.
Like, just another loss thing. The precedent's been set. It's been broken. That right. can happen now.
So now it's
not as big of a deal.
It's a well that they can dip into.
Yeah.
Creatively, hopefully. But.
Well, here's my thing, though. When was the last time there was a Money in the Bank cash-in on a random episode of Raw? A successful one. Because I think Damian Sandow cashed in on a random episode of Raw.
It would probably be Ziggler.
Yeah, that wasn't that random of an episode of Raw.
It wasn't that random, but it was an episode of Raw, though.
It was an episode... Well, that was an episode of Raw, and, like, Cena cashed in on an episode of Raw, but it was Raw 1000.
Right, and that came before Ziggler. That was the year before
yeah,
Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're just doing, like, a random episode of Raw, I think it's The Miz.
Yeah, because I know Punk did his on Raw, but that was definitely before Miz.
And Punk was before Miz.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it depends on what your definition of random is, but...
That's fair, because... Right.
But yeah, like, just last cash-in on Raw would be Ziggler
mm-hmm.
after 29.
So, and I mean, that's, you know, we only get 1 to 2 briefcases a year, so that's not way far
I am kind of glad that it's back down to 1.
Oh, yeah, no, I am too.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It kind of forces them to, like... They should probably have some sort of plan before they give it mm-hmm. to somebody. Mm-hmm. Although, clearly, that hasn't been the case. But in, you know, an ideal world, an ideal situation, you would.
Yeah. One can only hope.
Yeah.
So
before we move on to the our picks and everything.
Okay.
What did you think about the quote-unquote main event for Raw? The Divas contract signing.
So, in Raw's history,
mm-hmm.
there have been 2 Diva main events. I think it was Trish and Lita,
mm-hmm.
and then it was Trish and somebody else.
Right.
And
they were matches.
They were matches, yeah.
Yeah.
There were 2 Diva main event matches.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one of my big things, like, when the Divas Revolution was, you know,
right.
really big and hot, and we were sitting here being like, How long is this going to really get pushed, and how
right.
long are they just, you know, waiting for us to forget? And so I was like, I will really start to believe it with a Divas main event. I'm not even asking for a pay-per-view main event, a Divas main event on Raw.
Sure.
And this doesn't count.
No.
It's a contract signing.
Also, it doesn't count because I'm pretty sure a Stephanie and Brie segment ended Raw last year,
yeah.
I think,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, before leading up to their match
yeah.
at SummerSlam.
But not a match.
Not a match.
Match.
But they did, like, they promoted the crap out of it all episode, like, the whole time.
They did.
And their way of doing that is recapping everything periodically, and that's annoying, but whatever, sure. Points for trying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So,
okay,
here's the thing.
No. There's something encouraging about this.
Okay.
That contract signings, no matter your gender... is awful. Bam! Equality for all, everyone.
Well, here's the thing about even with the leading up to it,
mm-hmm.
it became very apparent, like, they still view it as the Diva segment, not a Diva segment of the night.
Right.
And they can't comprehend having multiple Divas storylines or
yeah.
feuds. And you're sitting on this pile of talent.
Oh yeah,
that's
and
just,
it's just like, oh, you purposely made these 3 9-person teams.
Yeah,
and then even throwing in Natalya more recently, and you're still going to use 2 of them. I mean, you've got 8 other people that you can possibly be using in a different scenario.
Yeah.
Freaking go for it. Like, why not? I don't either. Did you get a chance to watch the JBL thing?
I haven't watched that yet, no.
Okay. It was all right, you know. It's still, like, it was fun because it was in a panel style. So not so much a interview from JBL and them. It was more like a conversation between JBL, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, and Triple H. Stone Cold, not Million Dollar Man. sorry. Stone Cold? Steve Austin, he was a wrestler?
Million Dollar Man?
Was it $6 Million Man?
$6 Million Man.
Sorry, Ted DiBiase. wow, okay. Wrestling TV lines got crossed big time. It was good. It was fun. Like, basically, they shared a lot of their thoughts on, like, the streak getting broken or his legacy or blah, 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 or just random, like, stories or something that involved
right.
him. Personally, I never knew that he apparently had one line that he would always give to a guy that felt like he was working a little too stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that was, you know, what did I do? Do I owe you money or something? Like, take it. Oh, I want to be friends with you. but really what it made me want, it was just a podcast with Undertaker or a JBL show with Undertaker. Like,
yeah.
Just something out of character where you could just, because it seems, from what it sounds like, he's such a wealth of knowledge as far as, like, the business and just backstage stuff. And but I know he likes his privacy. I know he likes his personal life. But I just want one. He's one of those guys that I really would wish that he would work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
In WWE.
The thing with Undertaker is, like, I feel like I just want one. One sit-down, 3-hour Stone Cold podcast. You don't have to, like, do the circuit. You don't have to start your own podcast.
Right.
Just, like,
you don't even have to release it all in one. You can cut it up. Or
yeah, make it 3 episodes.
Sure.
That's fine, but just...
Just one thing.
Get it all out there.
Right.
And I want to hear it.
But I just... From the way that they talked about him and how he's, like, worked with them
mm-hmm.
and how he, like, he's... You know, he works with other talent. It really makes me wish he was, like, either working, like... behind the scenes of NXT or WWE, is just like, I feel like the company needs him behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know how likely that is, because boy does he love Texas. and his wife and kids, but who cares. I haven't really dove into any of the other Taker stuff
that's
on the network. They have a, you'll love the word play, his gravest matches. Hat.
Okay.
And really, it's like, it's a 2-hour thing of, like,
here's
the best Undertaker matches.
They're just...
Or not best, but, like, I don't know.
See, here's the thing. This
is gravest.
This kind of goes into the network organization in general. I know you can search by wrestler.
Right.
But I feel like there does need to be, like, a better way to search by, like, wrestler. Because right. It still is, like, you type in wrestler... Here's some stuff they were in.
Sure.
So it's like, you know,
and now
Hell in a Cell from 2003, 4 SmackDowns from various years.
And you know, like, those, like, tiny little, like, in-between episodes of something on the network, on the live stream, they'll have, like, little quick snippets. They added, like, 20-something Undertaker ones. And they're all, like, if you just, you know, you click on shows and it'll, like, pretty much show you from, like, the newest on.
Yeah.
You'll see, like, 25, like, Undertaker stuff just, like... taking up space. I'm like, it's so disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me up a wall. They don't tell you, like, there's not, like, some, like, on YouTube, it'll show you, like, a little thing, like, how long the video is. There's mm-hmm. nothing. So I'm like, oh, what? Oh, this is interesting. Let me click on this. It's 1 minute of, like, you know, Paul Bearer, like, really high-pitched. Like, it was, like, an old promo from way back in the day. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting, but you're taking up space in this.
And again, what I really want, I think I've said on the podcast before, I want to be able to click on, like, a feud.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, here's a playlist of all the promos and matches that are this feud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean...
That would be great. That would be perfect. Or a full timeline playlist.
That'd be nice.
That would be a lot of work on somebody's part, but that's what they get paid for.
That's right.
Lord, hey. We could apply for that job.
Yeah.
I'll gladly sift through, like... you know, archives to make playlists for people
on
the network.
Absolutely.
Hey, WWE, because we know you listen to this.
Of course.
My name is Chris Anders. I'm here with Joel Leonard, and we would like for you to hire us now, please, to help with your archive system.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks, bye. All right, with that out of the way, let's go to...
Let's tell you about your card.
Let's... And, yes, people that we just asked for a job, let's... How about you listen to us poke holes on your card? First of all, they did announce that there will be a 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series Elimination Tag Team match. And it is team to be decided versus team to be decided.
I will pick the face team.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really going to make picks on this, but ultimately I think probably the face team is going to win here.
I mean, yeah.
Unless, like, there's going to be too many faces winning tonight, or that night, so maybe they might give the heels.
Give the heels to mix it up? Mm. Whatever.
Sure. We'll find out whenever. Well, yes. We'll decide whenever we hear about the teams.
We'll make picks for the trashy open.
Yes.
Once it's announced.
Wow, there's really not that well. Yeah. The Divas Championship, Charlotte Page. Charlotte, right?
Yeah, Charlotte. I mean, yeah. That's the other problem with going bad taste is, like...
We know who's going to win.
You kind of... You show your hand on, like...
Yeah. Like, again, almost like Punk and Undertaker, like... It was compelling and interesting, but we're like, okay, well, Punk's got to lose now. He's going too far one way.
Yeah.
So now Paige is kind of like gone too far one way, and they're like, well, now she has to get that.
The comeuppance.
Yeah. So we're both saying Charlotte?
I'll go Charlotte.
Okay. Brothers of Destruction versus any two of the Wyatt family.
Some of the Wyatt family?
Half of the Wyatt family. Really sucks, doesn't it?
Why is this not just a handicap match at this point?
Sure. Even make it a handicap elimination match.
Like, just...
Since it is Survivor Series.
In all genuine honesty, why is it not? There has been no indication at any point that any two of the Wyatt family can even come close to matching Brothers of Destruction.
Sure. Like, it doesn't matter what the combination is.
No.
Like...
If you put them all four together, maybe they'll have a chance.
Right.
But if they're going to be just two,
whoever's not in it, it's going to affect the match somehow anyway.
Yeah.
But just for no points, who do you think the two from the Whites are going to be?
Bray and Bork Storgan.
You think they're going to try to, like, build the big guy? Like, or at least show him off?
I kind of feel like that. Yeah, he's the...
Because that's what I was going to go if you said, like, any other combination. I would mix it up and say Bray and Berg Sturgeon.
Yeah. I mean...
But I don't know. Like, either that or Bray or Luke, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just not Eric Rowan.
Never Eric Rowan.
Poor guy.
The guy who has very unceremoniously returned. He just showed up, you guys.
Poor guy. Like, I just honestly feel bad for him because I feel like he would be interesting not in this... You know, right. Swamp Bayou gimmick.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not... It doesn't feel as natural for him as it does for friggin' everybody else in the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, poor guy.
I'm just realizing there's no, like, tag team match.
At all?
So I'm assuming that...
The New Day's going to be in the...
Yeah.
Well, then I'd like to change my answer to New Day's team.
Wouldn't we all? So now we will go to the two semifinals. Or we're both saying Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, I was going Brothers of Destruction.
Okay. Roman versus Del Rio.
Roman.
KO versus Dean. See, that's the thing. Like,
I'm gonna go Dean because I'm betting to win, and yeah. I think it's really possible that Dean's turning heel this Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'm not wild about the idea, but every now and then, WWE just likes to take the most obvious road,
mm-hmm.
no matter how many times, that it will see. Everybody will point to him and be like, there's the obvious road, and
you
then
sure
they'll
take
it and go, what a twist!
You sure you just don't want to take a risk on this one? You got a lead. You got a pretty solid
I know.
Lead.
That's why you should pick first. But I've picked first, so I'm going to pick Dean Ambrose.
And now I'm tempted to go otherwise because...
You gotta catch up.
Gotta catch up. Because we're going to both pick the same winner at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
Alright. I'll go out on a limb just for the sake of trying to catch up to Joel or dig myself further into a hole. But a risk is a risk, right?
That's it.
I'll say Kevin Owens.
All right.
So main event, Joel is saying Roman Reigns and Dean. We're assuming this is main event. Who knows? They might put Brothers of Destruction last, and that would make that
okay.
That 2 out of 4 Wyatt thing even more lame.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're saying Roman and Dean. I'm saying Roman and Kevin. But we're both going to say Roman wins.
Roman wins. End. Yeah.
Possibly with a cash in at the end.
Yeah, but we haven't been counting that.
Cause, no, not at all.
I'm sitting here kind of like, sure. I am honestly very interested to see like the Monday after episode mm-hmm. because I do feel like something will happen either with the Brothers of Destruction or with the title scene. Like, there's going to be some sort of kerfuffle situation that we will have to address on Monday.
Sure. Yeah.
It just feels like...
I would say...
It feels like it's Survivor Series. Somebody's got to make a big deal out of something, right?
Sure. I'd say that, as far as a cash-in, I'd say there's probably about a 50% chance.
Yeah, that's happening. Fair.
Maybe even 65. Also, did you know you just can make up... So, yeah, that's the card. Hooray.
I mean, it's not a big card.
No. Seeing as how, three of the matches are, taken up by this tournament.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It helps fill out the card.
It does.
Makes it interesting.
The elimination tag match can pad for quite a while. Oh, yeah. Like, even if it's just a thrown-together last-minute filler
it,
like
this
one is. It can
be at least 20, 25 minutes.
Like, yeah, there's... No reason it can't, do some serious padding.
You gotta, the match itself might be 20, 25 minutes. Not even taking into account, entrances.
Yeah.
You got 5 entrances. You can take care of, 3 and 1 because New Day.
New Day.
Still.
Yeah.
I don't know. You having a good day?
You want to do what's making you happy? Because I actually have something.
For what's making you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's making you happy, Joel?
Making me happy. Today... on the day of this recording,
Life Day!
It is Life Day. And so to celebrate Life Day, the official paperback print edition of my book, Night Before Star Wars, has been released. You can buy it on Amazon.
I purchased mine.
All right, good job. The proof came and it looked right. It was really like that was just like, because that also happened on Monday. So like it was part of like came home being grumpy and like it happened. I was like, yeah, good
guys,
job.
Guys, this is how obviously proud Joel is of this. This dude actually promoted his own stuff on Facebook for once, which is something that I never have been able to get him to do. But this one book, he just wanted to just plastered all over the world, and I... Well, okay, he made one post.
Yeah, I was like, calm down.
But still, that seems like such a
crazy person.
Okay. You posted a picture.
I did.
And then you shared the link later on once, it was readily available to everybody. Yes.
So, we'll put a link in the description of this podcast, absolutely. Obviously. I genuinely, honestly think you'll enjoy it if you like Star Wars at all.
Yeah.
If you don't like Star Wars, might not be your cup of tea.
Or you might have a...
Or this might be the thing that warms your cold, dead heart.
Maybe you know somebody with a kid that likes Star Wars. Bam, there's a Christmas gift right there.
Yeah.
So, go out and get it. And I will get mine. And as soon as I do, I will post a scathing review of it somewhere. I guess I'll go... What's making me happy? Battlefront came out. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty. I haven't really been able to dive into it as much as I would like just yet. It's been a busy couple days. And so, but I did the tutorials and one of the smaller missions, and it's pretty. It feels good. The dogfighting stuff, it feels good.
Yeah.
Which is fine because I was never good at that in the original Battlefronts.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm probably not particularly... And see, here's the thing. Okay. All right. A lot of people were giving it you know, some problems because it wasn't Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
You know, and you weren't going to get that. You know, yeah. Like, it wasn't going to happen. Like, the gaming industry has evolved way too much for them to be like, just repackage and, you know, spruce up an old game model. You know?
Right.
But it does look a lot like Battlefield. Which makes, sense. Like, makes sense.
I think part of the problem was that they did spruce up an old, and repackage an old thing. They just Star Wars skinned Battlefield.
Yeah, pretty much. But it feels like Star Wars. It looks like Star Wars. And that helps a lot.
A lot of what's making us happy over the next month is probably going to be Star Wars. Tomorrow's a month.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Just FYI, you guys.
I still need to pay back John Alexa for my ticket.
I do too. All
right. We will do that in the off chance they're listening to this. We will.
All right. Anything else?
We do have a mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. It's your mail
sack. All right. This comes from Twitter, from @EvilJackalopes. Who would have thought? 10 years now without Eddie Guerrero. What were your thoughts on his match / the angles during his lifetime, not post-death legacy type stuff? I'll be honest, because you know, you're asking what were our thoughts like while he was still alive. A lot of that happened during my time away from wrestling, honestly. Yeah. Like, sad to say. So, you know, a lot of it's, you know, because I was always more focused on WWE stuff. So I was completely clueless on his WCW and ECW stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing I can remember actually watching, like, as it was happening, was this angle where he was really, really into China. And he was really trying to get China to go on a date with him or something along those lines. And I can remember I hated that angle so much that for a while I didn't get what people were, like, just praising Eddie Guerrero for. It's like, he likes China. Gross. You know? And, of course, now, like, you know, I'm back into it. Sadly, I didn't get back into it until about 2 years after Eddie passed. And, honestly, I started watching. I'm like, wait, Eddie Guerrero passed away? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back and watching stuff now, you know, you appreciate him a little bit more for all this other stuff that I had no idea about.
Right. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I came in after you did. Or I re-came in after you did.
Right.
So a lot of what I have seen of Eddie Guerrero is packaged in some sort of like best of Eddie Guerrero, sure. Eddie Guerrero's top moments, or you should watch this match because Eddie Guerrero does this.
Or the time that they had a ladder match to determine custody of a child.
Or that. But I will say that the way that I knew the name Eddie Guerrero. There's this whole package of wrestlers that I know the names of.
Right.
That, like, I don't know much. Like, Test is in there.
Sure.
You know, where, like I know them, or at least, and I know them a lot more now because I've gone back and, like, watched stuff and network and, you know, finding old DVDs and whatever I should do. But he was initially kind of in that. Like, I know him. I know he's important. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, he has these connections with Vicky and Chavo and stuff.
Right.
But I don't know much about him. But the thing that made me want to learn more about him, like, part of it was, like, he was on a huge list of names. And it was honestly a little bit of, like, I don't have to learn about him now. Like, I don't need to.
Right.
There's nothing current that I need to understand about him to understand. Because
that was your thing for a while. Like, you wanted to know what all you need to know about other people to, you know, get into what
I was playing catch up, you know, because, like, last I heard, Cena was, you know, Thuganomics.
Right. And to be honest,
was a one-time U.S. champion. And then I came back and was like, what?
Right. And then, like, you didn't really need to know much about Eddie in order to really get Vicky.
Right, exactly.
At that point, she was already her own entity. She was already, you know, her own extremely heel character.
But I was watching, I don't remember what I was, I looked up something on YouTube, and I don't remember what who I was looking it up for, but I do remember Eddie doing the chair thing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was brilliant.
It was, yeah, absolutely.
It was brilliant, and it was so unexpected.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that made me, you know, be like, all right, let me actually look up, you know, Eddie Guerrero top hits, Eddie Guerrero, you know, WrestleMania moments or whatever. So to me, that will always be the pinnacle, character-defining moment,
right,
for Eddie Guerrero is the throw the chair, fall down,
right,
bit. It's just that, and it charmed me ever so.
And even now, like, people will sporadically use it, and every time I'm like, I like it. Yeah. You know, most recently was New Day used the trombone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my favorite, like, my favorite version of that was, I don't know who Punk was fighting, but they threw the chair at him, he caught it, they hit the ground, and they just, like, CM Punk just kind of looked at him like, what? And the guy, like, I think the guy never, like, went down, or he was, you know, or he stood back up, and all of a sudden, like, Punk, like, looked around and threw it back at him, and then fell. And so they're like, it was a double. I was like, oh, nice. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah, that's my Eddie Guerrero,
right,
unexpected charming moment. Like,
right.
Everything else, honestly, everything else of Eddie Guerrero, and while it's amazing and brilliant,
yeah,
is something that's I've looked up because
Eddie of what passed, you heard. Yeah.
And I wanted to see this amazing, yeah, and brilliant thing that somebody talked about.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, when somebody passes away, everybody always goes back and they hype that, especially like in wrestling or music or acting or whatever, they go back and they hype up their previous work to almost an impossible degree. Mm-hmm. But for Eddie, it's like he kind of fit that.
Yeah.
You know? Sure, like people like go like above and beyond with the superlative, but hey, he comes pretty close to, you know, all those accolades that people give him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it you know, obviously super sad he's been gone for 10 years, but it's, you know, it's kind of telling of who he was that he still affects people.
Yeah.
In such a positive way still.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRRetire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email account. That's classroomretire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to follow Chris and myself.
Yep.
That's the Facebook.
That is the Facebook.
We are also on iTunes.
There we go.
You can subscribe there, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. We'll put a link to the Star Wars book as well on, yep, the Class of Ring Attire Facebook page. Yep. If that's how you want to find access to it. So
yes, sir.
As always, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.